It's time for Lightning Thursday here on the Q Lightning Radio. Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, in the studio with us. Bill, it's Hendersonville Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes, and Lightning Radio, as we do most weeks, we're going to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, and happy to be here. Yeah,
yes, sir.
The street, and hefty with lots of news and scoops.
As it is always. So let's get to it, Bill. Headline this morning on the front page of the Hendersonville Lightning: three-way partnership tries for campus park in Fletcher.
Yep, that's what it is, all right. In another of that long-running series of stories that we like to call Only in the Lightning, the Lightning has the scoop that you might be aware of a kind of across from the now known as Bill Moore, now called the Bill Moore Community Park, the old Fletcher Community Park there on Howard Gap Road, is the Fernleaf Community Charter School. Well, the Fernleaf Community Charter School, which is now a K through 5 charter school, has plans and has been executing this plan for the last couple of years to add a grade every year until it reaches K through 12, and it needs to expand. So the Fernleaf folks they found a 93-acre piece of property that really kind of goes, best way to describe it is off of Old Hendersonville Road, if people know that area where Brickton Village is, and then kind of up and over this mountain close to the current Fernleaf property there on Howard Gap, and would be a 93-acre park with a 1.7-mile network of trails, with the other partners being Conserving Carolina, the old Carolina Mountain Conservancy group that merged with the outfit, with also Land Conservancy down in Polk, to create, Conserving Carolina, and as we found out a couple weeks ago at a Fletcher Town Council meeting, really brought in Fletcher Town Council to be the applicant for I think it's $400,000 grant from PARTIF, that we talked about for now the third time as far as a county local government applying for a Parks and Recreation Trust Fund grant. So now Fletcher falls in line for that deadline that's only about 5-6 days away now. Those are due May 1st. City of Hendersonville is, of course, applying for that Clear Creek Greenway from Carolina Village to Berkeley Mills Park project, and the Henderson County is applying for a project to really raise the part of the Ocklawaha Greenway near Jackson Park along Mud Creek up kind of out of that immediate flood creek. Mud Creek floodplain. Flood Creek. Right. Might as well call it Flood Creek.
Exactly.
We can talk about that in the picture page later on today. So really exciting. A lot of details here. Interviews with the town council and Karen Rowe, the executive director of Conserving Carolina, thinks it would be a great park. There's a picture we have on the jump page that shows the part of the park that they're calling the Grand Overlook, which would be we kind of talked about it. It would be somewhat like hiking as a destination, hiking up to Big Glassy. Many people do every day there at the Carl Sandburg historic home, or driving up to Jump Off Rock. And this would be, I think if the total trail system is 1.5 to 1.7, it's probably a little under a mile to hike up from what will be, I think they're in here for a 40 space or so trailhead parking lot off Old Hendersonville Road. So look for that to crawl ahead over the next 6 or 7 months until next late summer, early fall, when we find the outcome of all of these applications.
This looks like a pretty impressive park, and I think would be a really great thing for Fletcher.
It would be a new thing for Fletcher.
Yeah.
Karen Rowe makes the good point that Fletcher has and is well known for, the beloved, very large, very well managed, very nice, very multi-use Biltmore Park.
Yeah.
But more active recreation than passive recreation. You got the difference there. And it does have the Cane Creek Greenway. And another component of this is that the Fernleaf Community Charter School folks say, oh, and by the way, we will grant right-of-way easement, whatever you want to call it, some piece of land through our campus, if you would like, Fletcher, in order to extend the Cane Creek Greenway. So Karen points out that this would be far different from such an active recreation park that Bill Moore is, with your soccer fields and your baseball and your softball fields, and much more like a park that people also in this area and beyond enjoy, which is hiking up for a nice hike through the woods and then up to a nice vista. You're looking, I think you're looking north and you're looking east and north toward another mountain range, kind of like wow. You are when you're up on Jump Off Rock.
Uh-huh.
You can see the ridge of Mount Pisgah and all of that, all of those mountains up beyond the parkway in the distance.
All right. So they've applied for this grant. If that comes through, is there an end plan as to how long this would take place before we have this park?
Not sure about that. Some years, I think. Yeah. The park with a trail, with trail development, they do have that in the plan as far as who would pay for it and how much it would cost. Read the Lightning story for all the details there. One other element I would say, that's a very big if you mentioned there as to whether could this happen. Could both things happen? And I think it's about 30 acres school campus and around 60 acres park. With the Fernleaf folks, the headmaster, Michael Leplow, and a chair of their board of trustees, Scott McDonald, when they came to the Fletcher Town Board, they pretty much said, we have to do this and we plan to do this whether we get the park and the part of grant or not. So
okay.
There's quite a bit of question about whether the park could happen without a part of grant or some other sizable, let's say $500,000 to offset quite most of this cost. It's under contract, by the way, for $1.25 million, $1.25 million. So you can get some idea of how much would be needed to cover, let's say, half of that. School says they need to expand if they're going to go to grade 12, and they do plan to go to grade 12. So we got to do this one way or another.
Okay.
Conserving Carolina says probably won't happen without a substantial grant outside of what the charter school can spend.
Mm-hmm.
And one more element of it, as far as a three-way partnership, they're not charging, they're not asking the town of Fletcher and the Fletcher taxpayers for a donation, of a cash donation at all. Or for that matter, they're not even asking them for an ongoing improvements and maintenance budget.
Uh-huh.
They say they'll take care of that. So it's a pretty sweet deal for the town of Fletcher and the Fletcher taxpayers if it were to come to pass.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Well, I'm sure the Lightning's going to dog that story.
We'll bird dog that as we do all of these ongoing stories, for sure. So a new park in Fletcher, North Henderson.
Excellent. And the next story we have on our front page, interesting. I'm interested to hear what you have to say about this. Library safety raises issues of homelessness.
Yeah, this is really a big deal on many levels. It's one of those stories that's going to grow legs, I think, and get bigger before it goes away and is resolved. And that's not just the issue of library safety, library security, but homelessness, which this is one of those stories that the smaller example shined light on a bigger issue. And the smaller example is the increasing use of the library by people that appear to be homeless. The authorities say they're homeless. The police know them as homeless. And what to do about the use of the library for something other than going in there to research, going in there to read books, going in there to check out books, and all the other conventional library functions.
Right.
That is somebody going in the library basically to get warm or to sleep. And this really started back in the early to midwinter when the library came during the budget retreat time and said, we'd like to look into having a social worker on site, somebody that would be trained to deal with this population that they were seeing a lot of. The county commissioners really didn't like that approach. There was quite a bit of pushback. And so now they're more into the they've gotten more with this story that we talk about from the meeting of the Board of Commissioners last week into law enforcement. How do we increase law enforcement? How do we possibly screen? As we say, the patrons could find their handbags and backpacks search as they enter the public library. They probably already have noticed a greater police presence inside and outside the library, and they may see more security upgrades as the county struggles to respond to what neighbors describe as this increasing population, because they can see it from their houses and what library staffers say. So look for that. The next step on that is it goes back now to the Library Board of Trustees to draft some recommendations on what might work well to police the situation, maybe screen out the homeless people that they don't want camping in there for long periods of time. It's a tough issue.
Yeah.
It came out really from the two of the top law enforcement officials in the county, Sheriff Lowell Griffin and Chief Herbert Blake, that, you know, it's a delicate balance here between what you can do about people in a public place so that part, and from the county attorney who said the same thing, that it's a fine line. Mm-hmm. You can screen people that you might suspect of ill motives as long as you screen everybody. I mean, you can screen everybody's, you can screen backpacks as long as you screen every backpack. So it's a fine line and a delicate balance that they'll try to reach to make the library, as also was brought up, welcoming for all users, especially children.
So this has been an increasing problem. That's why it is being brought to light?
An increasing problem, and not just in the library, but then Commissioner Bill Lapsley spoke up, who actually has been a longtime member of the Department of the Social Services Board.
Yeah.
He's now a member of the Health Board, but he's been active in many, many other associations and knows of this problem, for one thing, for his own from his own experience as the owner of a now vacant office building on King Street, where he says they've caught homeless people camping out. And he said he feels for them and their condition, but it's a problem that the county, he said, probably needs to take a deeper look at overall.
Wow. Wow, it's amazing. You know, when we think of the economy and when we think of especially this market here, that homeless number is continuing to rise. We're continuing to see more and more of it, and there's proof of it right there.
Yeah, they talked about that as well. There's another part of on the county's agenda coming up early next month is this whole report, as comprehensive as it can be at this point, on the opioid crisis, and it's expected that they'll be within that mix. There'll be the idea, certainly, of people drug using themselves out of a home not being able to afford a home because they like to buy these other things instead of a home. As I say, there are stories that are one-shot stories. There are stories that are kind of going toward the end. This one's just starting to, the curtain is just starting to go up on this one, I think.
All right. You're listening to Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com for Lightning Thursdays here on the Q. There's a group actually endorsing a road improvement project. You'll hear more about it coming up on Lightning Thursday.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita authorized service repair center with a complete line of Makita cordless outdoor power equipment, chainsaws, blowers, string trimmers, hedge trimmers, lawn mowers, and more. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 till noon, Lewis Williams & Sons. Online at lewiswilliams.com.
Tempo Music says get those instruments spiffed up for spring and summer. At Tempo, they actually service what they sell. And they're finding more and more that they're ending up repairing instruments that people shouldn't have purchased elsewhere. So when it comes to instruments and music, save yourself the trouble and buy locally from Tempo. They've been here and they're going to stay here. And they service what they sell for all instruments and all things music. Tempo Music is here for you on Main Street in Hendersonville.
This is Caroline from WAG, a unique pet boutique. The food that you feed your animals has a direct correlation to their health and longevity. Did you know that your pet's diet directly affects their behavior too? At WAG, we can help you tailor a meal plan designed around your pet's specific needs. We can order quality, healthful foods for your dog or cat. Remember, just like you, each of your pets is an individual. Let us at WAG help you find the perfect match for your four-legged family member. WAG, a unique pet boutique. 231 North Main Street, downtown Hendersonville.
In business, relationships matter and trust must be earned. Duraline Imaging wants a chance to earn your trust and your business. Duraline is your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business. Give them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301.
And we are back with Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Lightning Thursday. Let's continue on, Bill. As I said, as a little teaser there, we have a group actually endorsing a road improvement project. Business group endorses four-lane NC-191 project.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. You might not think that this is, it's newsworthy to be sure, but
yeah.
Worthy of a sizable headline. Where do you think that might be common, that the Chamber of Commerce and the Partnership for Economic Progress, which is the one we talk about here, would come out for road projects to accommodate our current traffic and future growth? But that has been... sidelined or completely absent from most of the discussion over the last, 2.5-3 years,
yep.
Along with putting widening projects on radical diets, so they're hardly called widening projects anymore, such as Highland Lake and Canoga, or killing them all together as the Balfour project, and as many residents, at least the ones that show up and speak at meetings, want the county commissioners to do to a four-lane divided highway widening project of NC-191 from Mountain Road, there where the Dollar General is, into Mills River, which is going to have actually a five-lane widening of NC-191. So it came to pass that the Partnership for Economic Progress, with its president and lobbyist Larry Rogers speaking, told the county commissioners last Wednesday morning that the business community is behind the project. They urged the county commission to go forward with the project as designed, two lanes in each direction with a median. And I thought it was very interesting that he mentioned this, two lanes in either direction with a median and a walking trail. We forget that on Canoga, with that project, we've already lost the bicycle lanes. Balfour Parkway was going to have bicycle lanes, walking lanes. And this project currently has... it's maybe more of a walking lane, not sure which. It's not a sidewalk, but I think it's a separated walking lane, and I think it's a bike lane as well. So we've already lost, 9 to 12 miles of all this talk about greenways, and most of them are not a bikeway along a highway, but we've already lost probably 10 to 12 miles of bike lanes by, like I say, reducing the width of these widening projects or killing them all together, right, as we have the Balfour Parkway. So interesting to point out that that happened.
And also worth to be noted in this same article that some of the home residents in the area have formed an alliance, of course, to oppose that project.
Oh, yeah. To be sure, this is by far the minority point of view. The residents have formed the Stop the NC1, I'm forgetting the exact name of it here, but in that same meeting, two more residents, and that was only the latest two residents among dozens over the last 2 to 3 years, spoke very strongly and passionately against the project. They say it's not needed. One of the things they say that I do think is a little bit of a head-scratcher is there's a project, a really safety improvement project that's, I know you've seen, underway now.
Yep.
Basically for the school traffic, rugby and West Hendersonville High School. And just as that's getting done, they'd pave over it for this new road. That comes up.
I'm sure.
That comes
quite
up
often.
Quite a bit that, well, you've done this improvement that really maybe solves the problem, so why don't we see if that works before we go on this? So there are good points on either side, on either side, really.
Hey, let's touch on this very quickly, Bill, on Lightning Thursday. Walk of Fame honors the 2019 inductees. You got the story here in this week's Lightning.
It's a good event, and coming up very soon.
May the 5th.
Get and go on Sunday, May the 5th at 2:30 in the afternoon. As far as going to see the unveiling, I'm told it's not really stones or memorial plaques anymore, but that's some kind of a little bit different form. But the thing they'd like people to know more about and appreciate and maybe participate in is the social hour and then the dinner honoring the Walk of Fame inductees or their descendants and families on that night, starting at 5 o'clock. Buy your ticket at Henderson County Visitor Center and park at the movie theater there at Epic Theaters and ride a shuttle because there's very little parking there where you go to the dining room, I guess it is, at Carolina Village. So look for that and go to that if you would like to honor Daniel Gibson, a local banker, Hugh Randall, a well-known educator, superintendent, served in the Navy in World War II and farmed. W.A. Smith is widely known around people, if you've been around here, especially Laurel Park, for a long time as the dummy line founder, most of the recreational parks, the lakes, the canals connecting the lakes and all that. Earl Stillwell, whose name has come up on this program probably 5,000 times over the last 4 years in connection with what's known as the Stillwell core of Hendersonville High School. George Wilkins, the father of Bobby and George and other people, and obviously an educator, fought in World War II in the Korean War. Harley Blackwell, great agriculture leader, made the really the Mills River Farm Research Station what it is today, and Colonel Sidney Vance Pickens, who fought in the Confederate Army, founded the Hendersonville Streetcar Company, and did that venture of the French boat, steamboat company.
Right.
You've seen pictures of the Mountain Lily.
Yeah, the Mountain Lily. Thank you. Yes.
Boy, we need to dust that off, don't we?
Boy, do we do. We do.
We need to launch that again.
That would be awesome.
We'll get a pontoon boat out there.
Also, I want to remind folks, you got some really great pictures of the Good Friday storm and flooding that we had all across Henderson County. That's a spread on page 8 and 9. So you're going to want to pick that up as well, and especially the picture there of what happened on Greenville Highway that put thousands out of power in Flat Rock. That was a tough one.
Yeah, and blocked the road for a day and a half or 2 days.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about Ask Matt this week. You said this is a question you get a lot, and I have thought about this myself many times. We talk about all these school improvements, all the money we're spending on schools, and we think to ourselves, well, where's all this? What about all that lottery money that's supposed to be spent on schools? What's the deal with that?
And Exactly right, and just in that way, it does come up a lot. People see, we've got a second part of this story, they see, oh, there's a $2 billion jackpot, $1.5 billion, and people know, well, it doesn't, aside from the taxes when the person cashes in their ticket, people pretty much kind of intuitively know that, well, doesn't the state, you know, all the states together, they get half that, don't they? Yeah, they do get roughly half of it, something like that. So how come we keep talking about spending all this local tax money on schools, especially building schools, which people probably don't even recognize. That's pretty much what lottery money is. Anyway, Ask Matt has the answer really to the penny that in 2018 here in the county we received $5,471,546. There's a number.
Henderson County got that?
Yeah, Henderson County. That would only build nowadays if you just put all of that into one school at right that minute on a cash basis and didn't borrow. That would cover at the most about 20% of the cost of an elementary school based on recent prices. It would cover less than 10% of the cost of the new Hendersonville High School.
Right.
So that'll give you some idea. I think they put it in debt services for the most part. And so the biggest portion of that is $3,348,747 went for, well, he says here, non-instructional support. School construction got 922, so there you go, probably in debt service. There's some at-risk pre-K spending. He's got it all broken down here.
Wow.
That does answer that. And we've got kind of a second part where Matt takes a road trip down to the really plain-looking KC Mart convenience store down in Simpsonville, South Carolina, that sold that billion and a half dollar Mega Millions lottery ticket a couple weeks ago.
Oh my gosh.
And he's got a fun story. He doesn't find the owner, the buyer of that ticket.
I'm sure.
In the state of South Carolina, they do not have to disclose the identity. They don't have to tell who that buyer was. But he interviews a store clerk by the name of Sabrina, and he gets as much of the scoop as he possibly can from Sabrina. So, as many of them are, it's a fun Ask Matt. All about the lottery and all about a pretty nearby big, big lottery winner.
Fantastic. Hey, let's touch on a brand new business in town right near world headquarters of the Hendersonville Lightning, a new drive-through coffee shop.
Yeah, I'm kind of thirsty for another cup of coffee. And maybe a smoothie, and maybe a espresso or a cappuccino or a mocha latte, or many other things. And they've got them all at this little shop that you might have known as Appalachian Coffee Company.
Uh-huh, just off Asheville Highway.
Before Appalachian Coffee Company made their ship came in, you might say, when they actually made the place on Fifth Avenue, the railroad track, in the no man's land between Hendersonville and Laurel Park. And that was so successful that it really kind of sucked all the oxygen out of the room, or out of the pool of their labor, you might say. So this gentleman, David Hamilton, from the Pacific Northwest and Phoenix, Arizona, and other places, thought he was retired until he got arthritis in his hand and couldn't golf as much as he wanted to, and he was bored anyway, and he had a background in retail and sort of service-oriented groceries, sort of like a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And so decided to buy it and open up the drive-through coffee shop. Has just recently added Joey's Bagels. They do have the smoothies, as I mentioned. So more than just coffee, check that out at Espresso Yourself.
Fantastic. Let's touch on something else, Bill. Tonight is opening night of Mozart to Pop Charts. Nat Zagree back on stage at Flat Rock Playhouse. You had the pleasure of getting a preview of this show.
Was able to see Almost the first act, a dress rehearsal was just a little bit underway when I got there last night. It's on the main stage of the Flat Rock Playhouse. It's hard to describe what it's not. What if you think it's going to be a concert pianist? It won't be that.
Nope.
If you think it's going to be all Jerry Lee Lewis, it won't be that.
Right.
But it'll be a little of both and everything in between.
Uh-huh.
And Nat Zegree being Nat Zegree with just really funny, but also really educational narrative between. One of the things I really enjoyed about it, he was playing Pachelbel's Canon in D. And then he went on to say, well, look at that progression of, what do you call it, notes or chords. Or he said, that progression repeats. He goes, I want to hold your hand. He goes, Elton John's. And he showed how, I mean, it's not a copy exactly, but he showed how in some ways with these classic things that we've all heard all of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, you've gone 100 weddings and you've heard Pachelbel's Canon in D 99 times, and that it's not that there's nothing new under the sun, but under the sun there's something that is more familiar than you really understand.
Exactly.
So that is, so it, like I said, it is entertaining, but it was really educational for me.
Yeah.
Seeing that part of it. And he's brilliant at that.
That's what he did with his Christmas show too.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
He showed where.
But this year, I think the Nat Before Christmas, didn't that get completely snowed out? I'm thinking, remember on the December 8 and 9,
I
thought they
that.
Completely
so.
Lost the, or maybe they lost the end of the show when we had that.
Maybe, because I remember he did.
Maybe that was it, because that snow came, I remember it came the day after Pearl Harbor Day. It was December 8 and 9, and it dumped that surprise foot and a half of snow.
Right.
And I know that definitely got rid of certainly all the Saturday and Sunday shows.
And the differences with this show, also Mozart to Pop Charts, is we've got members of the Hendersonville Symphony playing.
Oh, yeah.
And the Flat Rock Band, the Flat Rock Rock Band. They are awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I'd say it's 20 pieces or more. There's probably, I was trying, I have the list, but they I would say strings, there's probably at least 10 or 12 violins, violas, cellos, that, and horns, and and percussion. It's what I didn't know quite what to think, but it's good, and better than, I mean, it's just better than I thought it would be.
Fantastic.
And I thought it'd be good.
Yeah.
That being that.
Yeah.
Very entertaining.
And
very
there's
fun.
Only, I think, five or six shows. It's just through this weekend. So you got to get your tickets and see it.
There are, I think, the two matinees, so there's five.
There's five
in all. It doesn't open this afternoon, but opens tonight at 7:30, and then Saturday, Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Friday, Saturday,
8 o'clock at night, and then the two matinees at 2 o'clock Saturday and Sunday. Check it out. I think tickets are selling well, but there's still plenty.
All right, flatrockplayhouse.org or 693-0731. All right, Bill, fantastic Lightning Thursday again, as always, but the Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes. Where can you pick up your copy, Bill?
By visiting any of the 60 Lightning Orange racks all around Henderson County or any of our dealer partners, such as convenience stores, coffee shops, and the Publix there on Greenville Highway, if you don't have to kayak to it. or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab that says subscribe, and by that way, joining the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning Today, Lightning Thursday, or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.